first is the salad, then the meat, then the vegetables. Wait, bring all my food at one time on the same plate. Dixieland, bebop, soul, rhythm and blues, cool school, swing, avant-garde, jazz, free jazz, rock. What kind of music you play? The good kind.
World Service Bulletin. Tune is going out to Marconi, to all corners of the globe. There ain't no hut in the Serengeti where my wavelengths do not probe. Right to Saturn, we sure hope a DJ is on board for some anti-gravity mixing with two dumb plates of Europa. Throw down! Straight back, rock and roll away. We'll be right back.
Lou Dogely, welcome to Global Agogo, where we play music from around the world in the universal language of groove. Every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. right here on the mighty, mighty WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, the city of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet and radio for the rest of us. And we are streaming worldwide on the web at www.wrir.org, so you can listen to us on the internet or on the radio as you prefer. And Global Agogo has been underwritten since its inception by the University of Richmond's Modlin Center for the Arts. The Modlin Center welcomes author and humorist Garrison Keillor to the Landmark Theater on January 18th. Prepare for a rollicking evening of fun and laughter with Robin and Linda Williams and Keillor's comic homespun narratives. For more information, please call 804-262-8100 or visit online at www.ticketmaster.com. And WRIR is underwritten in part by a generous contribution from Plan 9 Music. Plan 9 Music has a large collection of new and used CDs, DVDs, and games, as well as an extensive selection of local and regional music, deep catalog selections, all the latest music, and a large assortment of both new and used titles on vinyl. Plan 9 is located in Carytown at 3012 West Carey Street. More information about Plan 9 is on the web at www.plan9music.com. Plan 9 Music, what a record store should be. And got a very special edition of Global Agogo today. I've got two guests in the studio, and I'm going to introduce you to both of them right now. On my left, Andrew McGraw, professor of music in the music department of ethnomusicology at the University of Richmond. Welcome back to Global Agogo, Andy.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. And Abdullah Zachariah, who is a visiting scholar and lecturer at University of Richmond this term, and he is here from Ghana, where you teach at where?
University of Ghana, Legon.
Okay.
School of African Studies.
And both of these guys are going to be helping to put on a big concert of world music this coming Thursday at the University of Richmond in Camp Concert Hall. That show is going to start at 7:30 p.m. Again, that's on Thursday, December 7th. Abdullah is going to be playing talking drum, and he's going to be accompanied by dancers.
Yeah.
And other musicians?
We're going to have a full concert that will comprise the Javanese, Balidistan, and then we come in with the Damba, processional Damba, and then the Damba itself, and then we will end it all with Gahu dance.
And the other part of the concert is going to be University of Richmond's community Gamelan, Balinese Gamelan Ensemble, which is led by Andy McGraw. It's called Gamelan Raga Kusuma, and it's going to be their major concert for the fall season. And all of that is happening on Thursday, December 4th. That's this coming Thursday at Camp Concert Hall on the campus of University of Richmond. Admission is
free.
So there you go. One more reason to go check out all of these really interesting musicians playing music of two very distant and very different parts of the world. And we're going to divide the show up today basically in half. The first half we're going to be talking about gamelan, Balinese music, and other related music. The second half we're going to be talking about Ghanaian music and drumming. I've got some selections that I've brought in, but the first thing that we're going to do here is talk with Andy about Gamelan Raga Kusuma, and we're going to play a couple of recordings that WRIR volunteers Alan Coberly and Terry Bache made last week of this ensemble in their rehearsal session. So this is we're going to listen to a couple of pieces that they're going to be playing in the concert, recorded, you know, like 2 weeks before the concert. And that's a really fun project for us to work on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, Andy, tell me more about what else is going on with the Gamelan Ensemble. We've got this, you got this concert that you're doing, and what are the plans going forward after that?
After that is to get through the holidays and ramp it up again in the spring when we'll be hosting a master dancer, musician, shadow puppeteer from the Indonesian Institute of the Arts for the entirety of the spring semester. His name is Made Sidia, and we'll be doing new music, new dance, and we'll be doing a lot of shadow puppetry.
And are people still the last time you were in here, we talked about looking for people to perform in the ensemble. Are you still looking for more people to participate starting in the next term?
In the next term, yeah, we will. We'll have probably about 5 spaces open. We can get away with about 18 people, but with flutes and other instruments, we could go up to 30.
Because you do have people doubling and tripling on different instruments,
right,
as it is now.
Right.
So anybody who's interested in participating in this, it's a community ensemble. So it's open. You don't have to be a student at the University of Richmond. All you have to do is be someone who's interested. And you don't have to have any previous expertise or knowledge, play any instruments at all. You will learn all of those things by participating. That's part of the fun of it. And if you're interested in that, probably the first thing to do is come to this concert and check out what they're doing. And there you'll be able to meet Andy if you like to, and you can get yourself involved as well. Okay, well, let's listen to these recordings. This is going to be fun for us because we haven't heard them in their final mixed-down version, but Alan Coberly has been working diligently on them. And we heard the raw materials, but we haven't heard the final mixes, and we're going to hear it for the first time just like you guys are when we play them on the radio. Andy, what's this first composition that we're going to hear?
This is one of the pieces we'll be doing in the concert. It's a dance piece that we'll be doing without dance because our Balinese dancers are having babies, so it will be danceless dance music. It's an offering dance called Rejang, and it's a simpler piece. It's kind of more staid and stately, and this is the group performing it. And the group that's recorded here ranges from ages about, I think, 12 to about 60. So it's it really runs the gamut of the community.
All right, this piece runs about 6 minutes long, so we're going to kick it off right now, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. So right now, Gamelan Raga Kusuma recorded at in Booker Hall, I guess, what was it, a week ago yesterday?
Mm.
All right, let's check it out. Thank you. That's Gamelan Ragakusuma here on Global Agogo, a recording that was made by WRIR volunteers Alan Coberly and Terry Baish a week ago at their Gamelan's rehearsal space at the University of Richmond's Booker Music Hall. That composition is called Rijang. Did I pronounce that right?
Or yeah.
Approximately
yeah.
closely.
Yeah.
Hey, who wrote that?
The Rijang is a class of dances that are performed at temple ceremonies mm-hmm. to invite the gods to a ceremony. And that version is a kind of tricked-out version from the village of Kuta, which is a tourist village in the south. And the National Conservatory picked it up and added some fancy parts to perform it for Ronald Reagan when he visited Bali in 1984.
No way.
Yeah.
And so that's the version that you guys base yours.
That's right. We went with the Republican version
of it. And now, but any version of any of these pieces is going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, village to village, the Rijang is very, very different. But this is because it's been sanctioned by the National Conservatory, has kind of become the standard form, mm-hmm. For better or worse, around the island.
So, and some of the difference just comes from everybody uses slightly different instruments, right?
Right.
They're all manufactured. They're all built to order.
Right. Yeah, there's no standard tuning. There's no A440 in the gamelan tradition. Even tuners, gongsmiths, put variations in between sets that they make just to be different and so that pieces sound different and so that each village kind of has their own oral watermark, their own sound.
Yeah. And then, of course, the number of instruments that are used in each different performance will be different, right?
Yeah, and there are several different kinds of gamelan. It just means orchestra, so there's several different kinds of orchestras that could perform a piece like this. So each recording is going to be different, even if it's the same piece. Each version of it will be different between different villages.
All right, let's move on to the second piece that we've got. This is also going to be performed in the concert as well, right?
Right.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about this one.
This piece is called Langkair, which is probably a much older piece. It's also part of the tradition, the anonymous tradition. We don't know who wrote it. It was probably first composed to accompany a 14th century dance drama called Gambu, then transferred to these larger orchestras later on. An orchestra called the Samar Pagulengan, which is means the music or the gamelan of the love god, and the legend has it that this music was performed to entertain rajas when they were slumbering or doing other things in their beds. And so some of my students call it the Balinese Bountika Wow Wow, even though it doesn't really sound like that to American ears. So, but for Balinese ears, it sounds kind of sacred, stately, profound, romantic, bordering on erotic.
Uh-huh.
And this is the full seven-tone version of the piece, which is pretty rare even in Bali.
And what's the process by which the players in this group learn to play the pieces?
In the group that we have in the University of Richmond, since we've had visiting Balinese artists in the past and we'll have them in the future, when I'm teaching, I just continue with the Balinese technique for continuity, and that's as much as we can avoid it. No notation, rote memorization. I play the part backwards on the instrument facing you over and over and over and over again, and you eventually get it. And it's always as a group, as a community, because the parts go by pretty fast, and you're playing with your right hand and damping with your left hand because the instruments ring. They're so sonorous. You have to damp them with the left hand. And so to construct very fast melodies, there's a kind of musical division of labor where you will divide a melody between two players that are playing interlocking parts. So really learning by yourself or practicing by yourself doesn't do you much good in performing the music.
So most of the players have a complementary player who they're playing kind of a shared part with.
Right.
And they sit next to each other or opposite each other?
They'll sit next to each other.
Okay.
Facing the same direction.
And so as each person is being instructed in their part, the whole group is observing.
that process. Yes, hopefully they are.
And so everybody is learning a little bit of everybody else's part by doing that.
Right, and they're all connected. I mean, you can kind of derive parts. You can derive melodies from interlocking parts if you know how to kind of parse how the music is constructed.
Is there a role for improvisation in the players' parts after they have the gist of it?
It depends on the part that they're playing. And if you're playing an interlocking part, unless both of you are telepathic, it's not really going to work. But, you know, you see these kinds of things in Bali that kind of defy description. But other instruments like flutes, fiddles, which we actually don't have on this recording, but the flutes and the fiddles and the drums are allowed to improvise. But you kind of graduate into those parts after you've mastered the simpler parts.
Are you going to have any of that in the concert?
We should have a couple of flute players if they make it down from Washington. We'll see.
Okay. All right, let's listen to the second piece, which again is called?
Lenker.
Lenker. Again, it's Gamelan Ragakusuma from University of Richmond under the leadership, sort of
right now,
of Andy McGraw. And you're listening to it right here on Global Agogo. Thank you. That's Gamelan Ragakusuma from the University of Richmond. The composition is called Linkare, and it was recorded November 20th of this year at Booker Music Hall rehearsal room for the Gamelan, recorded by WRIR volunteers Alan Coberly and Terry Bache. And you are listening to a very special edition of Global Agogo, where we play music from around the world in the universal language of groove, right here on 97.3 WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, the Tower of Low Power, and the City of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet. Our phone number in the studio, by the way, is 804-649-9737. We're doing the show live, so if you hear us talking on the microphones, don't call at that time, but you can call any time other than that, and I'll be glad to talk to you, or if you'd like to talk to Abdullah Zachariah or to Andy McGraw, we will all be here to do that for you. And Global Agogo is sponsored in part by the generous founding underwriting support of the Modlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond. The Modlin Center welcomes Rockapella with a Rockapella holiday on December 5th. Rockapella has jazzed up, doo-wopped, and modernized the a cappella genre so successfully that their revamp has become a signature style all its own. You can call the Modlin Center box office at 289-8980 or visit modlin.richmond.edu for tickets or information. And explore your creative spirit at the Visual Arts Center of Richmond's free Art Free-for-All on December 14th. The Visual Arts Center of Richmond is offering an afternoon of art making and music from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 14th. You'll find fun things to do in every studio for kids and adults, plus music performed by the Happy Lucky Combo. The Art Free-for-All is open to all without charge. The Visual Arts Center is located at 1812 West Main Street in the Fan. More information is available at www.visarts.org. And we've got, as I just said, Andy McGraw and Abdullah Zachariah in the studio with us here today. And Andy, how did you get interested in gamelan music in the first place?
Well, I went there kind of on accident. I heard this kind of music and the kinds of world music classes that I now teach at the University of Richmond, and I really hated the music. I mean, it really sounded odd to me. It sounded hopelessly out of tune. I didn't understand the groove. I didn't feel any kind of groove. I just didn't understand at all how it was put together. And it wasn't until I went to Southeast Asia. I went to Indonesia to essentially pick up a drum for a friend for a bandmate that left a drum in Bali. I went there to pick this thing up for him.
That's quite an errand.
Yeah, it was much more of an errand than I realized at the time. You know, as someone raised in the public schools in Kansas City, I didn't have a very good understanding of Southeast Asian geography. So I thought, you know, it would be easy to get there from Singapore. Anyway, so when I was there, somebody took me to a temple performance that included a competition between two of the absolute best groups in Bali. And to see it live and to see it with dance and the kind of, you know, communal intensity that goes into performing it just suddenly converted me.
And how old were you at that point?
21, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so you're just like getting out of college.
Yeah,
going to college.
Yeah, yeah, getting out and then back in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then from there you ended up at Wesleyan University.
Right.
To do a PhD.
Yeah, I was at Tufts in Boston, where I started studying Javanese music, Middle Eastern music, and Ghanaian music, both Ewe and Dagomba. Which explains my connection with Prof. Abdullah and why he's here today. And then went to Wesleyan to do a PhD in ethnomusicology.
And for those of you in the listening audience that aren't familiar with it, it's probably the best-known place in the U.S. to study that kind of music.
They have, a pretty distinguished, very old, in terms of ethnomusicology, that means dating back to, you know, the late 50s, an old department there. And they've got a lot of resources because they made wise investments in companies like Xerox.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, the local companies.
Right.
Now, before, I hate to say world music because it kind of trivializes, you know, the specifics of the cultures of you know, the rest of the world. But just to indulge me, but before world music, what was it for you music-wise? What were you really into?
Well, I grew up in Kansas City playing jazz, and then went to a weird little liberal arts school in Western Massachusetts, came back to Kansas City, was playing jazz, studying in the conservatory. So it was mainly percussion, but jazz and Western classical music. But, you know, as a percussionist, if you're kind of interested in where your tradition comes from, you start to study, you know, where do the instruments in the percussion instruments in the orchestra come from? And they're all borrowed. I mean, everything that's considered classical now is borrowed from the Ottoman Empire, and everything that is in the modern kind of chamber ensemble can be traced back to East Asia or West Africa. If you're serious as a percussionist, you're kind of automatically engaged with world music.
Right. And the gamelan is a particularly interesting kind of percussion ensemble because almost all of the instruments are tuned.
Yeah, and they're tuned in a very complicated, specifically out of tune manner.
Out of tune, or is it its own logic? Because Abdullah was talking while we were listening to the music and saying how unfamiliar the gamelan sounds to him. And I'm sure that there's a lot of folks, you know, you don't have to be from Ghana to say that. There's a lot of folks here in America that would have exactly the same comment, not necessarily for the same reason, you know. But that's a big part of it, is the tuning. So yeah. What you're saying is the tuning like aleatory?
No. It's all, it's very, very much purposeful. But it's when I say it's out of tune, for the Balinese, a single pitch is actually the combination of two pitches. So, you know, earlier we were talking about all the instruments being doubled or quadrupled. And the way tuners construct this is pitch, let's call it pitch 5, on one instrument is going to be a little tiny bit higher than pitch 5 on its paired instrument, about 6 cycles higher. And so, you know, when you put two pitches together that are almost in tune but not quite, you're going to get what's called destructive interference or beating. You're going to get wah, 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 wah.
And that's what we're trying to avoid in that recording. Right. And successfully so, because I didn't hear any of it. Did you?
Oh, I heard it.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is what
that's the aesthetic. That's what they want in there, is the bah, wah, wah, wah. Because that beating, in a way, amplifies the music. And it's this concept of waves in Balinese music that's called ombak. You know, you hear it in the gong, the large tuned gong. You hear it in each of the instruments. It's a small tropical island with really good surf. Waves are on the brain, right? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of imitated in the music itself.
Ah, okay. Well, it's a very physical experience to hear this kind of music played, especially, you know, in a room that's like the right size for it, where the waves are, and certainly the rehearsal room is like that, and camp is going to be like that too, because that room is so very, very live.
Right, right.
And so the waves are going to be hitting you from all sides, you know, so like if you go to the concert, like sit in the middle of the hall, it's going to be the best place, you know, or maybe like 2/3 of the way back, but, you know, equidistant from as many walls as you can to get the like maximum human vibrating experience. and it's meant to be played loud, or at least the loud passages are really. I noticed a number of players in the group wearing ear protection during the rehearsal.
Yeah, it's music that's designed to be performed outdoors or in a pendopo, in a gazebo. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be heard from a considerable distance. It's not meant to be performed inside in a square room, so that's why we wear earplugs sometimes. If this was a university in Hawaii, we could play outside, but
right. But no amplification is required for this music.
None
in the least. So what I also want to do here in the time that we have available is I want to give people a chance to hear some of Andy's own music. Because he's not, just a guy who is teaching people how to play other people's traditions. He's a guy who's a musician and in his own right, and has his own recording. Is this the first recording that you've made and under your name as a band leader or an organizer?
Yeah, under my name. Yeah.
Yeah. But you've played on plenty of recordings of all different kinds of people,
right.
And it's a very interesting record. It's called Collaborasi. And as you might guess from the title, there are a lot of collaborators involved in the project. And we're going to – I want to start by playing Powerhouse.
Okay.
Which is by a really famous American composer who actually – he's very famous. Everybody in the audience that's listening right now has heard this guy's music. His name is Raymond Scott. Do you want to tell people a little bit about him?
Raymond Scott was an early jazz innovator in New York. He was also really involved in bringing electronics into jazz and developing MIDI and the keyboard. But if you've ever watched Ren and Stimpy or any other...
Or go back a little further.
Yeah, if
if you're my age, if you ever watched Looney Tunes...
Right. Then you know this man's music.
And you know this particular piece, you may recognize it when you hear it. It's done a little differently because it's done gamelan style.
Right.
And how'd you get the idea to do that?
Well, I was in Bali, this was two summers ago, and there's a fantastic kids group in Ubud that a friend of mine directs. And, I mean, you know, they're like ages 8 to maybe 15. I mean, they're just incredibly talented. And he asked me if I didn't want to, you know, do a piece with them, but we only had 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought maybe cartoon music would work. And so we sat down and we arranged a version of Powerhouse, which is interesting because, you know, the second half of it that most people would recognize swings.
Mm-hmm.
And Balinese music never swings. So they had an incredibly difficult time with this. So Balinese music is kind of like, you know, very, very much straight 16th notes. So it was a nice short piece, but posed its own problems for the Balinese musicians.
So there's no syncopation in...
Well, there's syncopation, but not that kind of... Dun,
not, in
dun,
a not in a propulsive way that moves you, like, forward. Mm. Like what we think of swing is this kind of, like, forward-moving force.
Right.
Anyway, Raymond Scott, contrary to my knowledge, you know, I did some research in preparation for the program. He never wrote any music specifically for cartoons.
No.
It was Carl Stallings, who was the guy who did all the music for Looney Tunes, really liked his music and kept using it. And he used it like 50 different times. And this piece, Powerhouse, especially the second part, which is the machine
the kind of assembly line
theme, yeah. You'll recognize from many, many cartoons, from Looney Tunes, you know, so Bugs Bunny and stuff like that, and then also now from Ren and Stimpy as well, a kind of postmodern cartoon. Anyway, Powerhouse by Raymond Scott as performed by Andrew McGraw and
Gamelan Tewe.
Okay, right here on Global Agogo. Probably no place else but on Global Agogo. Check it out. Thank you. and that's Powerhouse from Andrew McGraw's recent recording on Porter Records called Collaborasi. And Abdullah, so what's your impression of that? Does that sound real different to you than like the Gamelon stuff that we played at the beginning of the show?
There's just something very different from what the original piece was. And because this is a new creation, he created his own handiwork, tried to put different pieces together, and it's really marvelous.
Yeah, I think it's really marvelous, too. And Andy just told us that the kids in the group that played that, although they had no idea, you know, where the music had come from or who the composer was or any of that stuff, they referred to it as Tom and Jerry music.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So they knew the Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I don't know if that theme was ever used for Tom and Jerry, but I mean, it just felt like cartoon music to them.
So there you go. Something that is totally cross-cultural is zany cartoon music.
Probably something Raymond Scott might not be very happy about either.
No, I think he found it very annoying.
Yeah.
Right? Because he wrote the stuff like in the 1930s.
Yeah,
right?
These were serious, you know, pretty serious
That's
compositions.
Pretty avant-garde for the time. And he was kind of in that kind of serious jazz composer like Paul Whiteman or something like that.
Written down jazz.
But but now we listen to it and we go, it sounds a lot like Spike Jones or something. And he probably found that really annoying. very, very interesting and novel idea there. Now let's play a second piece from the record. This one is called Pamunka. Am I pronouncing that right?
Pamunka, yeah.
Pamunka, yeah. Okay. And this is quite different and with different collaborators.
Right. This is a piece that I did with the shadow puppeteer, Gusti Sudarta, who was a visiting artist scholar from the Indonesian National Conservatory at the University of Richmond last fall. And we did an experimental shadow theater work. Instead of using traditional music, we worked with the 8th Blackbird Ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and composed some music with Gusti. And Pamunka means the overture to the shadow play, and it's meant to open the universe on the screen. And so you hear the orchestra playing through the small chamber orchestra, playing through kind of mutations of a standard Balinese rhythmic theme that's used in the original Balinese Pamunka, and you hear Gusti Sudarta singing what are essentially the mantra that open the universe onto the screen.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of working with musician collaborators, this is sort of the alpha and omega of collaboration here. You've got the Children's Gamelan, and then you've got 8th Blackbird, which is one of the most sophisticated groups in contemporary classical music. What's the process by which they learn?
Well, they read.
Okay, so you're going to write it all out.
Yeah, so working with the kids, you know, I had to arrange it in my head a little bit on paper and show up and have, you know, the part completely down and be able to play it backwards, literally on the instrument to teach it to them. And then with 8th Blackbird, you know, every note's got to be written down, and they learn it just as quickly. I mean, they're such incredible sight readers that you put it in front of them, you try not to, you know, talk too much and do it, and they're just great musicians.
And then you let them play it, and then do you tell them, nah, I don't really want it to sound like that?
No, that doesn't happen with 8th Blackbird.
Okay.
They play through it, and you go, yeah, that's
perfect.
That's what I meant.
That's a lot better than what I had in mind.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to Pamunka from Andrew McGraw's record, Collaborasi, right here on Global Agogo.
Thank you.
And there's some more music from Andrew McGraw and his album Collaborasi. Again, that's on Porter Records, and that just came out a few months ago. Is that right?
In June or July, yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on having a record out. That's pretty
cool.
And not every professor gets to say that, I guess.
No, not in physics or
exactly.
English, yeah.
Or in ethnomusicology, man. I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's never really clear. You know, ethnomusicology is this weird kind of in-between discipline. And so, you know, what you should be doing for tenure is always kind of between the cracks. So you can sneak mm-hmm. things in like a CD and performances.
Well, I don't know. If I was in a tenure committee, I'd be impressed if a guy got somebody wanted to pay or participate in helping him make a record. And
well, I'll have you write a letter.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Perfect. So who's the singer on that piece again?
His name's Igusti Putu Siddhartha. He's a shadow puppeteer from Bali, and he's also a fabulous musician and dancer. And he was in residence at the University of Richmond last fall. Mm-hmm. And his senior colleague and his neighbor in Bali, Imade Sidhya, will be teaching at the University of Richmond next semester, and will be guest directing the Gamelan Raga Kusumo community Gamelan as well.
Well, that guy has the most amazing voice.
Yeah, he's famous even in Bali for his voice. I mean, just an incredible, incredible voice. And, you know, when you're a shadow puppeteer, you have to be responsible for upwards of 50 characters, you know, different puppets that have completely distinct voices. So it's all about honing your voice.
And you've got to keep... And related to that, you have to keep the audience engaged mm-hmm. in performances that run how long?
In Bali, you know, they're not as long as in Java. In Java, they can be 8 hours. In Bali, you know, 4 hours. But that's, you know, one puppeteer who sits down and tells a story nonstop for 4 hours. And
right, and he's got to keep the musicians awake, too.
Yeah, and he's giving the musicians cues. It's something more serious and profound than often... what we call a puppeteer in our culture.
But and it is a form of community entertainment.
It's everything kind of wrapped into one. It's you know, deep philosophy, political critique, dance and music, and a lot of fart jokes.
And these are, and the stories mostly come from like Ramayana, Mahabharata,
right.
It's like texts that everybody's supposed to kind of know, and you have to tell a little bit different version of the story
right.
from anybody else that's ever told it, or else you're like boring.
Right, exactly.
And trivial. But these are the same stories that they make, you know, soap operas about
right.
in Asia. So these things are timeless, you know, there's just like an infinite number of possible iterations and directions you can take them in.
Right, and you can use it all metaphorically to critique your government or, you know, local village heads.
So you're listening to Global Agogo here on 97.3 WRIRLP, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us, and the City of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet. And this program is Global Agogo. We're here every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., and this is a very special edition of the program. I've got two special guests, and I'm going to get my second special guest involved in the action here pretty quickly. I do want to do a little bit of business here and play another piece of music, and that's what's on the agenda right now. So WRIR would like to thank Exile for their continued underwriting support of this station. Exile turns the trash culture of yesterday into the class culture of tomorrow by featuring clothes, jewelry, accessories, and housewares both old and new, also bluntstones and TUK footwear. Exile is located at 835 West Gray Street. More information is available at 358-3348. And the music that I wanted to play is... occurred to me that this would be related as I was listening to some of Andy McGraw's CD in preparing for the show, and I was thinking about Steve Reich, the great American composer, really my favorite living American so-called classical music composer, and this is something that you very rarely hear on this program, but it is related because Steve Reich is a great fan of an expert on Balinese and Javanese gamelan music, spent a lot of time there studying their traditions and brought them back to American so-called minimalist music. And you can hear that in many of his compositions, including the one that we're going to play coming up next. I should add as an aside that he's also an intensive student of West African drumming traditions, and although I don't really hear it in this composition, it's related to what we're going to be talking about in the rest of the program with Abdullah. Without any further ado, well, maybe I'll get a little further ado here from Andy. If you want to, do you have any comments about Steve Reich and his music and how it relates to the stuff we've been listening to so far?
There's just kind of strange serendipitous connections here because Eighth Blackbird just premiered his latest work at the University of Richmond last semester. And again, you can hear this kind of motor rhythm that's going to become his hallmark in a lot of his minimalist pieces that you can connect to Balinese interlocking or Ghanaian drumming, both of which he studied in America and in Indonesia and in Ghana.
I think this term in classical music, minimalism, is unintentionally hilarious because nobody plays more notes than the people who play on these so-called minimalist pieces. Now, you know, the John Cage's Silence piece, okay, I can understand why that's minimalism. But you listen to Steve Reich, and you listen to how hard these guys are working, or watch the gamelan on the show that they do on Thursday, and watch how much work these guys are having to do. And I don't, why is it minimalist?
I guess it's because sometimes these composers are you know, they'll focus in on a few ideas and really make you pay attention to it and make you look or listen at a single idea from several different perspectives and kind of play with your perception so that maybe a musical structure that's not changing, if you move your perception around a little bit, it can actually sound very different, and that can kind of enliven and enrichen your musical experience of all musics.
That's not minimal. That's rigor. That's discipline. You know, the opposite of that is playing everything all at once and having to try to find that taste in the sauce that's got everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's minimal to say, I've gone on long enough about that. Let's listen to some of this. I don't know exactly how much of it we're going to play because it's about a 19-minute composition, and I want to make sure that we've got enough time for Abdullah as well. So let's listen to some of it, and we'll see exactly how much of it we do get to. Steve Reich from, I believe, 1974. This piece is called Music for Mallet Instruments, Voices, and Organ, and it is on the original vinyl, so bear with the little bit of scratchiness that you get from anything that you've played on vinyl like one or two too many times, because I like it so much. Steve Reich right here on Global Agogo. Thank you. Behind you, you're listening to the music of Steve Reich and Musicians, composition by Steve Reich from 1974. It's called Music for Mallet Instruments, Voices, and Organ, recorded for Deutsche Grammophon. It's Deutsche Grammophon number 2740106. And some of my favorite American contemporary classical music there. And my apology is that we're not going to be able to listen to the entire composition. Maybe we'll do that on some other show, and we'll set aside a blocker. Maybe I should do a show where I just play drumming by Steve Reich, since it's like a two-hour piece, and that would be like my whole show. I think that would be really cool. And you're listening to Global Agogo right here on 97.3 WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. We are the toast of Richmond. And you've been listening to Andy McGraw from University of Richmond. And coming up right now, we're going to be talking with Abdullah Zachariah. And I'm pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, close enough?
Yes.
Okay, good. And he's a visiting scholar, visiting artist at the University of Richmond during the fall term. And he's going to be performing, we mentioned at the top of the show, a concert in this World Music Concert that's going to be on Thursday, December 4th at Camp Concert Hall starting at 7:30. There's going to be Ghanaian music and Balinese music, both in this concert. But Abdullah, you're also doing a drum and dance workshop
right. That
is going to be free and open to the public as well.
Yeah.
And that's coming up on this weekend, right?
Yes.
Sunday from 1 to 3 in room BB117 at the basement of Booker Music Hall, that's below Camp Concert Hall.
Yeah, so if you just go to University of Richmond, go to the Camp Concert Hall, and then just go in the basement of that building, and you'll be able to find it down there. And so what's going to happen at this workshop?
It's really going to be West African music and dance. I will talk briefly about the drum institution of Dagbon.
Uh-huh.
And that will be the history, the origins. And then zero it down to talk about how music and dance is blend together, and the essence of who claims he or she has never danced. We try to explain to the fellow to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've ever lived, you've danced before. And then move down then to see if there's enough time, then possibly people can really try their body in motion.
Mm-hmm.
That is, do some small dance movements before we close.
Okay, and so that's open to the general public, free of charge.
Yes.
And they're very interested in having everyone who's interested in West African music or in drumming or in dance, in movement. You know, so folks who are out there listening who are dancers are going to be particularly interested in this, because it's going to be a tradition that many of them aren't necessarily familiar with, but something that would be interesting to add to their repertoire of motion and ideas that they have about movement. And likewise with musicians, anybody that's interested in percussion and hasn't had the experience of seeing someone play, particularly talking drum.
The lunga.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lunga.
Okay.
That's how we call it, madalit. And it talks like the human being can talk.
Okay.
And for people to come and prove me wrong, they should try to come there to see. And I'll truly challenge to them, whatever they can mention with their mouth,
you're going to say it on the drum.
As much as possible to say it on the drum.
Now, we know, you know what we know about this in the U.S.
Right.
is from the stories that have come down to us about the slaves,
right.
is that have the drums, once the owners of the slaves figured out that their slaves were communicating over long distances by using the drums, they immediately got rid of all the drums.
Right.
It was
right.
The most dangerous thing, you know, that an African American could have in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Much more dangerous than a gun,
yeah.
right, would be a drum.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So over how long of a distance can you actually communicate with one of these things?
As far as the wind or air can carry the sound.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to just depend totally on the conditions.
So we cannot determine how long it will go, depending on how far the air will carry the sound.
So
especially midnight when things are cool, there's no noise, it travels far.
And so how do you translate the words or the sounds to the sounds of the drum? What's the translation? How does the language work?
You know, when you are trying to do it, playing the drum, you should have it in your brain.
Okay.
Whatever communication you want to translate onto the drum, it should be in your mind, then it can descend through the body, through the hands, and onto it. Well, this is an instrument that we use, the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You hold the calf stick in your right hand, and then you use your left hand to control the strings or slur.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps the heads together.
Okay. And let me just take a break here to try to give people a little visualization.
Okay.
Our last meeting, we were talking about how we need a webcam in the studio. Mm-hmm. Now we really need it. But Abdullah is standing in front of me, and he's holding this drum. It's about, maybe 2.5 feet long, 3 feet long.
3 feet, yeah.
Yeah. And the resonator of the drum, the big part of the drum, is that made out of wood?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like carved wood.
Yeah, carved wood.
And it's carved into like an hourglass kind of shape.
Yeah.
And then there are strings strung all the way around the outside that are connecting the head on the top to, is it a head on the bottom?
Yes.
Okay. So there are, and those heads are made out of some sort of skin?
Goat skin.
Okay.
But the strings are made of antelope.
Okay. So those are antelope, like antelope inside.
Skin.
Oh, skins.
Yes,
okay.
Skin.
And so what he's got, and he's got a drumstick, which is curved. So it's it looks kind of like a claw hammer. And it's got a pretty small head on it. And that's what he's going to hit the top goat skin with. And then he's going to hold the drum under his left, in his left elbow, under his left arm, like you would carry a football or a loaf of bread. And he's going to squeeze the strings, the antelope, and going to change the tone of the drum.
Right.
All right, so give us an illustration and maybe tell us in words what the thing is that you're going to play, and then the translation of it into drum.
Depending on how long the time will permit us.
Okay. Well, we've got 41 minutes left.
Okay.
Okay. So something less than 41 minutes long.
Okay. So what I will do is I'll start off by trying to rub across the mouth of the drum.
Mm-hmm.
Then use the stick to appellate that is talking about God's creation, how God has created the heavens and the earth.
Ah, okay.
Plants and animals. And we, as musicians, too, in addition. And so we give thanks to him for that creation. Then I'll move on to touch little on my ancestral genealogy.
Okay.
Playing the proverbs of my ancestors. If I end that, then I can move on to tackle the chieftaincy institution of Dagbon.
Okay.
And that one, too, due to time factor, I'll just start off from somewhere and maybe appellate out to the current king of Dagbon.
That's a pretty ambitious program here.
Right.
But you're free to take it on and play as much of that as you can get to. I'd love to hear this.
Okay.
All right, Abdullah Zachariah on the talking drum.
So. I finished with my ancestral lineage, and I'm now going to move into the Yendis King, the Chieftain's Institution of Dagbon. And then I will then pick some few of them and then come through and then pause there for any questions. Then we then run through the program. Aba. all.
That's Della Zachariah playing live here in Studio One at WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. That was certainly for the rest of us. And I have no idea how that comes across on the radio, but here in the studio, it's earth-shaking. it's a totally visceral experience to listen to that, and obviously a physical physically challenging experience for you too, as you wipe the sweat off of your forehead.
Right.
Thank you for doing that. That was great.
You're most welcome.
So, questions.
Okay.
The first thing is I noticed that most of the time that you were playing, you had a huge smile on your face.
Yeah.
Why?
It's a kind of spirits. Normally, when we are in performance, we get to a time where it's like the spirits have descended on you, and so you are into a form of trance. It was like the knowledge is flowing. And you just feel you are in a different world altogether. You have to enjoy and feel what you are doing so that others will also see that, yes, actually, the music you have been played is not fallacy. You are not just trying to create fun to make fun. You are talking sense, and it's all about proverbs. And the proverb being played here, it's something that we try to interpret. It's not try, we interpret it from the local dialect into English. And whoever doesn't seem to understand that the drum can talk will then see that actually the drum is talking.
So then when you're not smiling, is that because you're back here with us in this room and it's back to like the back to the normal world?
You know, it's like as part of the training,
as
part of the training, during performance, you have to be cheerful.
Okay.
You have to be cheerful. And you have to always keep smiling. That is to let the thing look lively, let it look beautiful, and let audience also feel. You know, it's just like, excuse me to use this term, like in a busy shop.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, if those at the counter, they don't smile towards customers, they frown their face.
So the audience is your customers?
Yes.
Okay.
So during performance, the audience is our customers. And as much as possible, you need to get more audience. The way you will perform will tell the audience to draw more people to you. The message will be sent home when they get back to their friends. They will tell them, really, anytime these people are performing, you need to be there to see for yourself.
Okay. Now, the pauses, because you'll play a very long phrase.
Right.
Could be very long. And then the pause. And the pauses are pretty long. I mean, for radio listeners, they're probably really long. They probably are thinking, did they just lose the signal or what? And then you have this look of concentration.
Right.
And then you'll say something in a low voice like, toe? Is that what you're saying? What does that mean? And what are you doing at that point?
When we are playing, at the end of every ancestor, you have to add, may his soul rest in peace.
Ah.
Now, having ended that way, and when I say tour, it's like I myself have enjoyed what I'm doing. I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what next?
Okay.
You've ended with an ancestor. Mm-hmm. May his soul rest in peace. Okay, what next?
Okay, now.
Then I'll move on to the next.
To the next one.
Yes.
To the next phrase.
Yeah.
To the next concept or idea.
Right.
Okay, I've got it. Yeah, Andy's got a question for you now.
Okay.
Prof, could you pick a single proverb and give it to us in the Dagbani?
Okay.
And then give it to us on the drum so listeners can really hear that connection between the spoken tonal Dagbani language and the drum. And then could you give it to us in English?
Okay.
And now let's get that mic as far away from him as we can.
this particular proverb I want to play now is a part of my own father's praise poetry. And it goes like, he's called Zachary. That is the Zachary that I'm using. So before I even begin with it, I just go straight into his name. Now, I've just said that my father, he said that one that God has blessed, no man can curse him. And that the person who brings about unity is better than the destroyer, one who causes division. And he moves on to end it by saying that what does the chameleon care about traps being set along the road? Now, if we take each of these proverbs, we see the literal meaning. I've forgotten, I should have spoken it in Dagbani before the English. So I don't know what I should possible. I just get back to talk about it in Dagbani.
Can you give it in the Dagbani?
Yeah. He said, Naun ne melso, nun kan yin sel ne mele. Jergo bor pabo den dan yile. Guman chou baga ne sokpan ton, nil ngun manda, ngun gar ngun sanda. So that is, whoever God has blessed, no man can curse him. And whoever brings about unity is better than the destroyer, one who causes disunity. And then, that it is the fool who wants to be praised in the eyes of the enemy, or the enemies to praise him. And he winded it up by saying that, what does the chameleon care about traps being set along the roadside? We all know chameleon.
Yeah, chameleon.
Yes.
The lizard who changes his color.
Right. Now, the chameleon's castle, will you see it even walk on the ground? It's always on flowers, on trees, plants.
Okay.
Moving. Until it is going to cross a road or a path. That is why we see it, because by all means, it had to walk on the ground. And when it's even going to walk on the ground, if you observe, the chameleon takes the right leg, or the front leg, it tried to survey.
Ah, okay, so it's exploring.
It's exploring
mm-hmm.
to see whether there's danger before it step. Have they fixed some bump here? To avoid distance before it steps. And even the way it will step on the floor is not that weighty that it can mm-hmm. even let the trap get
so
out.
So just gradually like that.
And so, the Proverbs, we are saying that these Proverbs were said sometime, maybe 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, and so. And they are valid from that time up to date. And I'm telling people that it's going to continue to be valid till the end of time. And it casts across barriers and boundaries, international borders.
Because a good idea is a good idea, no matter where it, when it came out.
Right.
Where it came from.
Right.
Who said it.
Right. And in this case, if you try as much as possible, anywhere you go and you try to explain these things, people see the picture clear. It's not fallacy. You are not fabricating stories. You are not trying to be deceptive. It's the fact that you are laying bare for people to see. And if we try, I try as much as possible. This is my own vision. I'm trying this time to relate these proverbs, not only to what it meant literally, but try to relate it to socio-economic and political events this time.
Right.
And you pick any of them and you try to relate it, you still see the same picture. Now, if you use this way of the chameleon, assuming a bomb is planted on the ground because of me or you, and then we are in the air flying.
Right.
What is the use of that bomb?
Well, it's no good at all then.
Yes. So the chameleon is walking on the tree, and you set a trap because of the chameleon on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And he's bypassed the whole.
And he's bypassed all, and he's gone.
Right.
So you've wasted your time. So in modern trends, we are saying that even if someone should plant a bomb because of you, and you fly in the air, it will remain there till any time, unless you come back to that same spot.
Right.
That's one aspect.
Mm-hmm. And then there's many other ways to interpret or use the same proverb.
Ways, yeah, you can use the same proverb to relate to something else, and you still come out with a meaning. And I'll just play a few more.
Yeah, please.
And try to interpret the meaning, and then we see how things will work out.
Okay, great.
Now, this proverb is saying that in Dagbani, the Malbuto, so Lovial Pam, the Malbuto. Now, if you translate it into English, it is difficult to be. And then the question is, what is difficult to be? And they say it is patience. Patience is very good, but difficult to be maintained. That is what I just played. And is it not true that patience is very good, but difficult to be maintained?
It's very difficult to be maintained, yes. At least by me.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm saying that, one, without patience, you can never be a good leader. Without patience, you can never be a good father or mother. Without patience, you can never lead any group of people and be successful. And the level of patience that we are talking about, everybody has patience, but the level varies. So it means you have to be extra. Else, you can't be a good leader.
Okay, what's your next phrase?
The next phrase is coming.
I'm not patient enough. I'm rushing you. So there you go.
Yeah.
I need to put pay better attention here.
Now, this is about the river. We are saying that the river whose source is good will attract drinkers. Any river whose source of water is good will attract people who will fetch, either for domestic use or for whatever. And it is also true that nobody would like to drink dirty water or polluted water.
Right.
Or nobody would like to use it for any purpose.
So that's very topical for everyone,
right?
Here and any place,
right? And so this also can go around to tell us that if you are a leader and you are not of good character, what happens to your rule?
You're making your river dirty that way.
Yes. So in the olden days, the time that they picked these praises, it was like the chiefs know, yes, to be a good leader, everything of yours should be at least perfect. You should have an upright character, whereby if you talk in the society, you make reference to yourself, or you can cite example. They say example by leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So once your character is upright, and it's like it draws people from other villages near you to come and settle. But if your character as a leader is not good, those there are planning to leave. And they will send the message, whoever had interest to come, we are trying to relocate.
So this is like what the Romans said about the wife of the Caesar, right?
Right.
It's not enough for her to be of good character. She has to appear to be of good character.
Right.
People have to perceive her to be of good character.
Right.
I'm sure they said the same thing about the Caesars, too. So it's not just a male-female thing.
Right. And we have hundreds and millions or thousands of these prophets. Because the whole history is oral literature,
mm-hmm.
which is about the history of the people of Durban. Not only the royal family. Every member of that kingdom. And it is the historians, it is this dramas, we who have the history of this kingdom to memory, which is recited any time the need arises.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what your job is to keep the history, to remind people of what it is.
Right.
And you communicate it not only with the proverbs, but also on the drum.
Also on the drum, yes. And this destiny is handed to rest over 600 years. The first Lunga was a prince, and he went through the training
mm-hmm.
under the tutelage of his father, King Nyaksi, who ruled the kingdom in 1416 to 1432.
Okay.
So now, if we are trying to trace the history of the Lunga, if the father was the king in 1416, which means we have to get back into the 12th century.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time maybe the child was born and he grew up and then started playing this instrument.
Right. So the historians, the musicians,
yeah.
they're all from the same, they're all from a common lineage?
We have different types of musicians in Durban. But
okay.
this is the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first class.
Okay.
They have no equal. All others are under them. Because the history, they have no other. None of the other musicians have it. And it's also because they came out of the royal stock.
Okay.
Because the first Lunga was a prince.
Mm-hmm.
And he opted to become a musician. The father tried, the family tried their best to say, no, you are a royal person. And he said, look, that is what God has given me. And so along the line, the father gave in and supported and encouraged him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are independent of ourselves. We are not like other musicians in other kingdoms, especially in Ghana. We have some other kingdoms where mm-hmm. the Ashanti,
right,
or just the Akan-speaking ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
Their musicians are attached to the palace.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking about with like countries like Mali,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Where the musicians are, there's a musician class, and their job is to serve
mm-hmm.
the leaders
yeah.
and to praise the leaders.
Yeah.
And when you praise the leaders successfully, you get paid more money
okay.
and things like that. But in your tradition, the musicians, the top musicians,
yeah.
actually come out of the royal
yeah.
lineage. They're
yes.
actually members of the ruling family.
Right, right. And we settle outside the palace. That's why I said we are independent of ourselves.
Ah, okay.
So until the need arises, mm-hmm. that we get to the palace to perform. And now things have changed. We perform not only for the royal stock again, but for any ordinary citizen who need our service.
Right.
Whether the fellow have a wedding or a naming ceremony or a funeral, he invites us
mm-hmm.
officially, we go to perform. And luckily enough, Prof. Andrew McGraw was a witness to one. when he came to Ghana.
Yes, and we have a video of that, and we've actually got it posted on the WRIR website.
Right.
It's at www.wrir.org. If you go there now, you'll see a video that Andy McGraw recorded of a wedding ceremony that you
in Achimota
that you participated and played in.
Yes.
So you get to see some of the stuff that Abdullah is here talking about. Now, you're talking about royal family, and we've got 12 minutes left, and we had said earlier maybe we would play a few of these selections of contemporary Ghanaian music.
All right.
And I thought this would be a good lead into it, because modern Ghana, one of the things that distinguishes it, it's the first country in Africa to become independent. And so I thought the first thing we could listen to would be a song, actually not by a musician of Ghana, by a musician of Trinidad, Lord Kitchener, singing about Ghana. The independence of Ghana. Is this a song that you're familiar with?
Right. I've heard it once before.
You've heard it once? Okay, well, good. We'll get to hear it again.
Let me hear what it is.
And before we go any further with that, I want to say thank you very much for coming to our radio station
and
playing for us. Abdullah Zakaria, once again, he's going to be performing on Thursday, December 4th, as part of a World Music Concert at the University of Richmond. He will be playing. There will be other drummers. There will also be West African dancers. And in the other part of the program, the University of Richmond Balinese Gamelan Ensemble, Gamelan Raga Kusuma, under the direction of Andrew McGraw, we'll be playing all of that Thursday, December 4th at Camp Concert Hall starting at 7:30. And in addition, Abdullah will be doing a drum and dance workshop at the Booker Hall of Music on Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Again, that's on the campus of University of Richmond. Both of those events are free and open to the public. And that's about all I have to say. Andy, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you.
And let's go out with a few songs from and about Ghana, starting with this one that I've already introduced. Lord Kitchener, Birth of Ghana, from the year 1956. Thank you. And since I probably won't be talking any further, I'll see you guys next week. Until then, à tout à l'heure. And Christian will be in with This Modern Beat in 10 minutes.
This day will never be forgotten, the 6th of March 1957, when the Gold Coast successfully get your independence officially.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Dr. Nkrumah went out his way to make the Gold Coast what it is today. He endeavored continually to bring us freedom and liberty.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Began as agitator, then he became popular leader. He continued to go further, and now he is Ghana's prime minister.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. National flag is a lovely scene with beautiful colors, red, gold, and green, and a black star in the center representing the freedom of Africa.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry, and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Congratulation from Haile Selassie was proudly received by everybody. He particularly commend on the doctor's move to self-government.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim we will be jolly, merry and gay. The 6th of March, Independence Day.
Laid down a strong foundation for redemption of Africa, for which we've been strongly fighting.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
Africa's strongest foundation.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
has now once been laid forever. First it was Ghana and Guinea, later Ghana, Guinea, Mali. Soon it will be all Africa, the achievement of our greatest step.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
Africa's strongest foundation.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
has now once been laid forever.
Africa is now awakened that unity can save her. All leaders of Mother Africa are called to join this great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
Africa's strongest foundation.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
the nucleus of the great union.
Ghana, Guinea, Mali,
has now once been laid forever.
I used to balance the mean.
Okay,
a champion, no easy.
If you be busy, say me footballer. You have to make training. If you don't make training, my friend, you can't be the champion. Kaya, 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 kaya.
I used to body bad, bull, bull. If you wanna be the champ, train hard. I used to body bad, man, train. If you wanna sit on top, train hard. Remember that you still have to maintain.
this. And musician man trained to make hits. So if you wanna be the champion, don't sit. Wake up and get out of the pit. You can't be no champion if you know you don't train. You can't be no pilot if you can't fly no plane. Never. If you are a lazy man, don't complain. Change your attitude, yeah. Oh, change your attitude, yeah. Come here, one. Sing a little boy. Come here, one and a one.
Yeah.